Good morning, everyone. My voice is a little better than the last time. anyway, welcome to worship. The bulletin says that Wayne Christensen is going to be leading the service today. He tested positive for COVID yesterday. So here I am again. We welcome Jim and Karen Underhill. Jim's going to be sharing with us later in the service this morning about the ministry of Gideon's. We welcome both of them to the service this morning. By way of announcements, Tuesday at 1 o'clock is our opportunity again to serve at the Salvation Army. I have been informed that Pastor Dan Treisman needs help delivering Thanksgiving meals. That's all the information that we have. This would be on Thursday of this week. So if you're interested, have the time and availability, see me. I have his telephone number, whatever, to get in contact with him. This coming Saturday is Dorothy Shuknick's memorial service here at the church. It'll begin at 10 o'clock with the visitation and the service starting at 11. And I believe there's a light lunch that'll be served after the service. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. Can you believe it? Wow, that came fast, didn't it? Along with that, we'll have the Advent candle lighting and the hanging of the greens after the service to brighten this sanctuary up for Christmas. So, as usual, please join us for fellowship time and coffee on after the service today. Okay, would you stand with me and we'll share the call to worship together? God is our refuge and strength.
A very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear.
Though the earth should change.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Remain standing and turn to hymn number 265. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, In this moment, we come to you and lay our lives before you. May we honor, worship, and adore you with every fiber of our being this morning. And Father, we proclaim that you are the only one, the Holy One, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. On this day, we join with all those who worship and confess you as Lord. Open our hearts to you now and invite your Holy Spirit to be present amongst us. In your precious name I pray, amen.
Good morning. Our first reading today comes from the book of Jeremiah, found on page 598 of your Pew Bible. It'll be Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to you, shepherds, who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back to the pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The second reading today is taken from Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter, found on page 807 in your Pew Bible. Luke 23:33-43. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise."
Amen. At this time, I'll call upon our usher to receive our tithes and offerings and Covenant Kids Congo offering. Lord, we offer our tithes and offerings with much thanksgiving and praise. May this offering extend the work of your kingdom in your church and in your community. Bless this offering to that end, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is with much anticipation that we anticipate the Thanksgiving season we are about to enter. Our hearts are overwhelmingly grateful for your great love and blessing over our lives. Teach us the power of a thankful heart, dear Lord. Thank you for your finished work on the cross that has made a personal relationship with you possible. We pray now for those in our church family that have issues with health, be it physical, emotional, and or mental health. We pray for those that have lost a loved one recently. Render to them a strong measure of your healing, compassion, and understanding as they journey through their circumstances. Help us as a church family to be mindful of those in need and embrace opportunities to come alongside those in need of your compassion and understanding. We pray especially for the family of Pastor Clyde Harvey, former pastor of Boabic Covenant, as he passed away last Friday morning. Be with his wife Jane and their children as they grieve his loss. Bring them comfort and compassion. We pray for our military personnel, Sarah Skogman and Grace Koski. Thank you for their service, and may they be safe in whatever they are assigned to do. I pray for our public service safety personnel, our firemen and police officers, that they too will be safe, protected, and respected for the difficult job they have in protecting our community. We are aware of so much need in our world today. We continue to pray for our country as it seeks to find truth in the midst of so much divisiveness. In the wake of the midterm elections, we pray for a renewed purpose to bring this country into an alignment with your will for this country. We pray, too, for the shoebox that have been prepared by us and delivered. We pray for as many children as possible that they will hear the love of Jesus and forgiveness and respond in faith. We ask, too, for the recipients of these boxes that they will also participate in our follow-up discipleship program to learn how to faithfully follow Christ and share Him with others. Although it seems rather redundant, we continue to pray for wisdom and discernment in this transition time as we are in search for a new pastor. Bless our pastoral search committee and our congregation with the wisdom and knowledge we need to have regarding the needs of our congregation and the type of pastor you would have in mind for us. Thank you again for those that have been willing to fill the pulpit each Sunday. Continue to bless us now and Jim as we experience worship together. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me now to hymn number 642, Let Your Heart Be Broken, as we prepare for Jim's message. For the last few weeks, we've been praying ourselves for the World Relief offering, World Relief and Development offering. So at this time, I'll ask that you, if you brought them, to bring your soup cans for this offering this morning and lay them on the communion table. Okay. Heavenly Father, there are so many needs all around the world today. We pray that these gifts will serve to enable the covenant to disperse these funds to cover a multitude of needs in your kingdom work around the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Turn with me now to hymn number 500. Now before you, Lord, we gather. Upon your parchment hearts be told.
within us no commotion. Silence each disturbing notion. Lord, with true devotion, use this hour of great grace aright. Of the time we will avail us, when to seek us you are near, soon the day.
Jim, come and share with us now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, here we are again. Another Sunday, right? Good to see each one of you here. I got to get a drink of water. The Gideons have a national, international convention every summer. It's usually in one of the bigger cities. And we're going to listen to a 5-minute testimony from a lady that was at the 2008 convention in Kentucky. I like to do this just kind of to give you an idea of what really happens in the lives of people, and usually through the Gideon Testament. So we're going to listen to that first, and then maybe if you can't make it work, we won't listen to it, I guess, but go ahead if you can do it.
I am so honored to be here tonight. I am a Mississippi girl by birth. I grew up in the cotton fields of the Delta Land of Mississippi. My dad was a sharecropper, and I grew up chopping and picking cotton. I am one of 15 children. I am the 11th one. I have 10 brothers and 4 sisters. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My dad was an alcoholic. He was a gambler. He was a womanizer. And he was an abuser. And our home was a very unhappy home most of the time. We worked very, very hard raising the crops and bringing them in every year. And when Dad would take it out to sell it, we would not see him again until all the money was gone. Out of my 10 brothers, 8 of them are alcoholics. I have a brother who's been in prison now for half of my life. He was given moonshine when he was a baby. My daddy would wake him up, come in drunk, and give my brother moonshine, and he grew up as an alcoholic. We had a large Bible in our living room, and I never saw that Bible opened. I never heard a prayer. I heard God's name many times, but it was always as a curse word. And I was a very sad, unhappy little girl, a very frightened little girl from the things that I saw in my home. And on April the 29th, 1959, 2 Gideons came to my school, and they held up this little New Testament and said, "If you do not have a New Testament and would like one, please raise your hand." And I raised my hand, and this New Testament was placed in my hand that day. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't been the same since. A month later, at a revival in a local community church, I prayed and asked Jesus Christ into my heart. But I had spent many nights reading from this little New Testament long before that happened. And God's Holy Spirit dealt with me every time I opened this book. And he taught me that he loved me and that I was special. And he wanted to be my Heavenly Father. And he cared about me. And I knew that God came looking for me that day that I was in school, when the Gideons came to my school. I then proceeded to go to church. My dad would not complain if I did that, and I went to church, and I had Christian friends to encourage me every place we moved. And when I was in high school, Jesus Christ, the Lord called me to serve in some kind of Christian ministry, and I told my church I was saying yes to that. My church helped me to go to college. The women in my church bought me and made me new clothes, bought me shoes, gave me money for my books, and sent me away to school. And God blessed me with my grades and all the way through school. While I was in senior college, I met my husband, who was a Christian. I was preparing for Christian ministry, not knowing really what I was going to do. I did not know that God was preparing me also and preparing my heart to be the wife of a minister. And my husband is a preacher. And I have been a preacher's wife now for 39 years, and it's just been absolutely wonderful. God continues to bless me. I just have the most wonderful joy in my life. There's no way I can tell you what it means to me that the Gideons came to the school that day in 1959. I truly feel like God not only saved my soul, He saved my life. I have that brother in prison. I have so many other family members who live lives of defeat and discouragement. And I keep thinking, that would be me. That would be me, Lord, if I did not know you. Now, many in my family have accepted Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you that all of them are not saved, because many of them are. But my family has struggled. It is all they have known. And so many of them do not know the joy and the hope of having Jesus in their hearts. Gideons, I want to thank you for everything that you do. I love you very much. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when I go to heaven, I will see the person who put this New Testament in my hand, and I will get to tell him, thank you. Please do not give up what you're doing. Your job is so wonderful. You are so precious to so many people, and there are so many boys and girls in this world who need to know Jesus Christ, and they are waiting for this New Testament. They're waiting for someone to tell them about him. And I thank you so much for sharing him with me. I love you, and God bless you.
It's a good testimony, isn't it? That's just one of hundreds and hundreds, and I probably thousands of people that have come to know the Lord through the Gideon Testament, Gideon Bibles, and the testimony of Gideon's and what they've done for them in their lives. God, through his word, changes lives. First of all, through salvation, and then through the Holy Spirit that works in the life of a person. And they become like this lady. They come to know the Lord, and they come to know what's right and wrong in their lives. In 1972, about Karen and I moved to Bowabik, and we became members of the Bowabik Covenant Church, which we still are yet today. They haven't kicked us out, fortunately. And in 1979, we moved from Bowabik south about 8 miles out in the country, and we've lived there 43 years. When we moved there, I decided we needed something besides a little push lawnmower. So I bought a Boland's tractor from Hayden Marine in Bowabik. And over the years, I ended up with another one that I bought on a county bid sheet. I ended up with four more decks that I picked up here and there for parts and different things. Three snow blowers, two tillers, one blade for the front of a push blade, chains, whatever. I had all this stuff. Last winter, it was parked out in the woods, covered up with a tarp. This summer, I decided, I'm going to sell that. I'm going to get rid of that one day. I decided, a nice day, I made a little for sale sign, and I drove one of them out by the mailbox. 15 minutes later, I sold it, and everything else with it was gone. Wonderful. Needed to do that. Part of cleaning up, you know, getting rid of stuff. But as I was talking to the guy and we were loading it on a trailer, I got to thinking, I bet you I have some papers on that. Maybe an owner's manual. I went and looked in a desk drawer, and sure enough, there was this owner's manual, just like new, 43 years old, just like new. Think about it. I hadn't hardly ever used it. I gave it to the guy, and he said, wow, this looks like something I wouldn't expect. But that's what happens with owner's manuals, right? Now, looking at that owner's manual, I didn't really read it very often. Maybe I looked at it a few times. I was thinking about God's word in relationship to that, and I just want you to keep that in mind as we think about some various things here. First of all, I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 15. I'm going to just kind of summarize what it's about. But Jeremiah was giving, I suppose you could call it a bad notice to the people of Judah and Israel. What's really going to happen to them because they haven't trusted God. The second verse says this, those who are destined to death will die. Those who are destined to war will die also. Those who are destined to famine, they'll have famine. And those who are destined to captivity, they'll be captives. And a lot of other things are going to happen bad to these people because they haven't trusted in the Lord. And then if we go on to the 10th verse, Jeremiah says this, what sorrow is mine? Oh, that I had died at birth. I am hated by everyone, everywhere I go. I am neither a lender who threatens to foreclose, nor a borrower who refuses to pay, yet they all curse me. Everybody's mad at me. And that's because he's giving them the doom story, so to speak, and telling them that they're doomed. But God, through his word, spoke to Jeremiah, and he said this, I will take care of you, Jeremiah. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about this. And then Jeremiah says this, Lord, you know what happened to me. Please step in and help me punish my persecutors. Please give me time and don't let me die young. It is for your sake that I am suffering. And then he says, when I discovered your word and what you said to me, when I discovered that, I devoured it. I took it in. What does the word devoured really mean? When we think about devoured, we think about food, right? Thanksgiving's coming. You're going to devour that turkey. You're going to really eat it up. Most of us here, and I say probably all of you, have never really been hungry. Anybody ever been so hungry that you just couldn't stand it any longer? We haven't experienced that we just don't experience that. I think about a time when I was young, about 14 years old, and the pastor I had then, and he's still alive yet today, asked me one day, he said, do you want to go on a little canoe paddle one day here, it's supposed to be nice, and let's go. This is in the middle of the summer when it was hot. We wanted to go up a little creek, whatever you want to call it, off of Leech Lake to look for an area that we would probably want to hunt for deer. And so I said, sure, I'll go. And we took the canoe and we're paddling up this creek, and his son, who's about 6 years younger than me, he's probably, I don't know, 6 years old, was with us. And we went and we went and we went, and noontime came and it was hot and it was ugly. Finally I said, have we got any lunch? No, I didn't bring any lunch. We don't need lunch. Well, I need lunch. So by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was starving and thirsty. I've never forgotten that. I was really hungry, probably the hungriest I've ever been in my life. And finally he said, well, I have got a can of sardines. You know, the little oblong boxes like this, about that thick. Well, we devoured the sardines, at least I did, some of them. So first and last time I've ever done that in my life, but that's kind of what Jeremiah did with the word that God spoke to him. He devoured it. He took it in. It meant so much to him. I was going to bring in from my car the owner's manual that I have there. And I could open it up, and the car's 10 years old. And that owner's manual has probably never been opened 5 times in the time that it's gone through the process of ownership of the car. Just owner's manuals don't get used. We don't devour them. Of course, nowadays I realize that everything is different in the fact that a lot of people just go on their smartphone and punch in the information they need. I say a lot of people because I'm not one of them yet. Maybe someday I'll want to start trying to do that, but owner's manuals stay new in many cases. We bought a different pickup about 7 years ago. It was about 10 years old. And we went on a little trip out east to Raleigh, North Carolina, and visited some people and my niece over in Virginia, and traveled around. And on the way back, we stopped to see some friends. And I was having trouble with the dome light in the pickup. It stayed on all the time. So driving in the dark was especially bad because you had this light on. I couldn't figure out how to shut it off. I tried all these buttons and knobs and everything. So as we were at this place, my friend said, well, he couldn't figure it out either. And he said, I'll call my son. He's got a pickup just like it. He'll know how to do it. So we called him, and sure enough, we got it figured out. But the owner's manual has a section entitled Internal Lighting. And all you have to do is look, probably in a matter of a minute, you'd have to figure out how to do it. But we couldn't go through it, and we went through all this process because we don't use the owner's manual. The Bible is our owner's manual. Did you ever think about that? The book of Ephesians. There's a couple of verses there I'd like to read for you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 say this. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness onto us along with all wisdom and understanding. We're bought with a price, a tremendous price, the blood of Jesus. It's a song. It goes that way too. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. And when he bought us, He gave us this thing right here called the Bible. And it has come down through the ages. And it's wonderful. It tells us about God. It tells us about how we should live. Second Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. It's a manual that God has given us to read and to study and to think about. I'm going to get in my pocket, but I'm bumping the mic. This is one of the Gideon Testaments. This is an old one. It was in my backpack when I was deer hunting. It's always there. I'll put it back in there now that I've done deer hunting. And they call it hunting because there's not much shooting. I overheard some of you talking that you haven't had much success. It's hard to have success when there's nothing to have success with. But anyway, I have this in my backpack, and I took it out when I was sitting in the stand, and I said, what am I going to read today? Maybe that's why I don't get a deer, because I'm reading this. I got to admit that I did miss one a couple years ago because of reading this, but that's all right. They got to live too. So I just decided to start reading in the book of Matthew. And I read the book of Matthew. And I got to thinking about this as I read it. There are so many things in this for each one of us. Just in this one book, Matthew. About how we should live because of what Jesus taught us through his teachings, through his parables, talks about his life, why he came to earth. It's all right there. But then I got to thinking, you know, there's Matthew, and then there's Mark, and then there's Luke, and then there's John, and they're basically all four of them the same story. Why would you put four of them in the Bible like that? Four of them. Probably because God knew that we wouldn't read them, and maybe if there are four there, we might read one of them. Ever think about that? But they are tremendous comparisons as you look at them. Be able to compare what they say. So the Bible contains what believers need to know is how to live, how to be fruitful. Psalms 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm sure all of you knew Harvey Richard. I got his little from the funeral. Yeah, whatever. Hanging on the wall in the basement with that verse, picture of him sitting and reading the Bible, and that verse, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Can you say that? Do you read it? It's good for us, and that other verse I read in 2 Timothy 3:16, doctrine, first of all. Doctrine is really what is true and right in our Christian life. Reproof tells us in no uncertain terms when we have missed the mark. Reproof. Correction, guidance and direction. instruction in righteousness, how to live in a way that glorifies God. So the Bible changes lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think any of us can deny this. But we need to read it. We need to study it. And I know many of you do. And I know that that's wonderful. I spoke in a church over in Hibbing early summer sometime. I don't remember just when. I spoke at their Sunday school hour because they were having a missionary. Excuse me. Because they were having a missionary at their worship service, and I kind of taught the Sunday school class. And then after the service, they had a hamburger fry, and I stayed for that. And we were sitting around a table, and there's about four guys talking about different things, and then three women across the other side of the table. And this one lady said to me, she said, I got to tell you something. She said, years back, I used to work in the cities. I worked for a family, for a small business. And she said, one day, my boss, the owner of the business, gave me one of these testaments. And she said, I took it home and I started reading it. She said, it took me 2 years to get all the way through it. She said, and then I got to the last page. In the back of this, there's one page, two pages here in the back of the testament. God loves you, Romans, John 3:16. All have sinned, Romans 3:23. God's remedy for sin, John 1:12. All may be saved, Revelation 3:20. And my decision to receive Christ as my Savior. She said, then after 2 years, I finally understood what this was all about. So she said, when you give one of them away, tell them to read the last page first. That's what Karen does once in a while with books. Don't you, Karen?
You have to see if the main character.
I won't do that when I read a book, because I want it to be suspenseful and not know how it ends. If I'm going to read the last page, why am I just will not read the book? But anyway, that's what the lady said. Through this testament, I gave my life to Christ. And she was in church. She said, and this is another lesson that I got from this particular conversation. She said, after another 2 years went by, she said it was 4 years, she said, I decided I needed to thank this person for giving me this testament. So she said, I called their home, talked to the wife. Of course, she knew her too. She'd worked with her. And then she said, I'd like to talk to your husband about this testament. She said, I'm sorry, he passed away last year. The lesson there is kind of off the course of what we're thinking, but the lesson is, if you have something to say to somebody, don't put it off. Say it. Tell them. Tell them you appreciate them. Tell them you appreciate what they did for you. And how they helped you. Maybe if it's bad, maybe you shouldn't say it. I don't know. But anyway, this little book has saved the lives of many people. in the back of it, in the front of it, there's a couple pages. I'd like to read these for you because this talks about the Bible and about Christ. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good design and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. That's the Bible, and it's great. I'm looking for a piece of paper, and I will find it. So many times we put things off. We don't do what we should do, when we should do them. Bill Bright, who was the founder of Campus Crusade, said this in one of his writings. None of us has a long time here on planet Earth. It is kind of a staging ground. It is our split second in eternity when we have an opportunity to invest our lives, our time, our talent, and our treasures to help fulfill what our Lord came into the world to do and commissioned us to do. In fact, his last words before he ascended to be with the Father were, "Be my witnesses." That's a challenge for all of us. To read the owner's manual, read the book, and to be a witness for Christ. And I know that it's difficult sometimes, and many times we fail. But there doesn't have to be failure in the future. Gideons. That's why I'm here. But I've talked about this, which is what the Gideons work on. I just want to give you just a brief information about the Gideons as I close. They're in over 200 countries. This little book is in over 100 languages now. Some of it through the help of organizations like Wycliffe and others. They're working on giving out the 3 billion of scriptures throughout the world. The 1 billion was given out from 1908 to 2002, which was 94 years. The 2 billion was given out from 2002 to 2013 or 15, which is 13 years. If you figure that out, that's about 2 copies per second. That's what somebody told me. I don't think I could figure that out, but 2 copies per second. Just boom, 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 boom. Throughout the world. And that's why there's a need financially for scriptures. That's why there's a need to print them. It costs money. I will be taking up an offering at the door. I know you've had other offerings here today, and they're great causes as well. So you give as you feel you can, and you should. If you can't give now, there's a blue folder. I don't know whether you've got one or not, a flyer for in the bulletins. But it has an envelope in it with an address in Hibbing. If you ever want to, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, or whenever, give to the Gideons, you have an opportunity there. Just go ahead and do it. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to share with you. I hope you've enjoyed what I've said. I hope it has meaning to you. I trust that you'll read your Bible. I know we live busy lives, all of us. Sometimes it gets set aside. And I was thinking too, just in closing, one more thought. I plow snow, so this last week I was 2.5 days doing that. And then I usually have the radio on, Christian radio. And they were talking about apps, Bible apps, for different countries and different languages. Because it's estimated that over 80% of the people in the world now have a smartphone. And they can get the Bible that way, just through the apps. Think about that. Throughout the world, 80% plus have a smartphone. They can get all kinds of bad stuff. You know that. But they can get good stuff too. And so this radio station was working on getting more apps with the Bible in different countries and different languages, which is fantastic. It doesn't matter how it gets there. It needs to get to everybody. Thank you for your time today, for opportunity to be here. And I'll turn this back over to Roger.
Thank you, Jim, for challenging us to read God's owner's manual. Maybe first. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I can remember many times when I struggled with how to fix something or change something or whatever, whether it's an automobile or a lawnmower. I've got an owner's manual. It dawns on me. And certainly not a good way to address the issues of today. But having God's owner's manual before us, we don't have to wait to consult any other source but what he has to say for us. Thanks again, Jim, for sharing with us today. Let's stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 533, The Highest Joy That Can Be Known. The highest joy that can be known by those who heavenward, it is the word. Yeah. In closing, let's turn to one another and share the blessing. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.